Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here, getting off the schneid with our Survivor off-season podcasting, and today we have a very fun one. We're into August, which is certainly the time of the Survivor off-season where we might start to delve a little bit more into the absurd, and that is truly what we have for you today, because we have one of our longtime listeners. I've referred to her as our own RHAP historian, that she has an excellent memory when it comes to all things RHAP, and it turns out TEOS as well. Here she is, making her first appearance on the proper podcast, Megan Z. Megan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Megan, do you want to be referred to as Megan Z, or do you want me to attempt to butcher your last name?
I think we're good with Megan Z. Okay. I think that'll work.
Good. All right. Well, Megan, I'm so happy to talk to you on the podcast that I've told you for many years that I've wanted to have at least some topic that we could come up with that we could get into on the podcast, because you have such a great recollection of all things RHAP and Survivor.
Well, I'm glad that in order to make the cut, I had to listen to the Evolution of Strategy twice. It only took me 600 hours of listening to the Evolution of Strategy for us to get here, but we made it.
Wow, you listened to it twice.
I did. I listened to it once as they came out, and I would watch the season in between when the next TEOS would drop. And then I just finished another re-listen in the last couple of months.
Well, Megan, tell me that this idea for this podcast that we're going to do, and I'm assuming, you know, because you guys have read the title, you know what this podcast is about. We are going to be going back and potentially finding things that came up during the Evolution of Strategy and adding those sounds to the soundboard, not from the TEOS version, of course, which is the 30-season Survivor rewatch that Josh Wigler and I did, of course, available at evolutionstrategy.com, where the first chapter about Borneo is always free, but you guys know that already. So, Megan, in the Evolution of Strategy, did Josh and I ever discuss this idea?
I don't think you did.
Okay.
Although I'm really being credible as an RHAP historian by not knowing the answer to your first question.
Okay. Well, you're more credible than I am. So that's good that at least somebody is minding the store and knows a little bit about what we've talked about before in the past. So what we've done here today is you have a list of sound bites, sound clips that if there was a soundboard in the 20 some odd seasons of we really started with the soundboard a little bit during Cagayan, and then I really incorporated the soundboard software during San Juan del Sur. But in the 27 seasons leading up to that, what sounds might we have captured as we went through this? And these were, since there was no podcast, TEOS is the closest we have to podcasts during those first 27 seasons of Survivor.
Yes. So for this, I don't have an exact formula of what I did to come up with these, but it's definitely, it's going to be impacted by the longevity of the clip within TEOS. So these aren't necessarily highlights from famous Survivor quotes. So if that would be a different list, so that would be your snakes and rats speech, your get the girls some chocolate and peanut butter probes. This is just coming from those great things that you and Josh picked up on TEOS.
Okay, so these are Megan's lists of sound bites that were running jokes in TEOS. We are pulling those clips so we have them for the soundboard. And if this is successful, Megan, you also have another list of sound clips not necessarily associated with TEOS that if there is, you know, people are enjoying this, then we can do that down the road.
Correct. Both me and Akiva are just going to have a list off one day of the things we have a list of.
Do you have lists of lots of other things?
Not really, but I think I probably have more in my head than I do written down. I think he's got me beat on
that.
Okay,
well, maybe you could maybe trade notes with him on systems, and maybe he can get you like set up on like Google spreadsheets and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Megan, tell us a little bit about this list that you were going to have, and what are we about to hear today?
Sure. So as I said, really impacted by if it was something that had a lot of TEOS longevity. Also, if it was something that there was a really good impression, that made it a little bit higher on the list. Also, there had to be kind of a real quote behind it. So take, for instance, Wanda, top 10 TEOS player for sure, if we were doing the TEOS draft. But she doesn't have
maybe
a
another
lot of
podcast.
Actual. Maybe another podcast, too. after Survivor Batman. She doesn't have a lot of actual quotes, so you had to have something real that they said, too.
Yeah, a lot of her quotes are just like, Survivor, Survivor. It's just different songs. Those are sort of the ground rules of what we're going to do today. And this is going to be very fun. I have all of the clips. I have pulled everything, but I don't know the order in which you are going to rank the these clips in. So that's going to be sort of the fun for this in me to get your order. And then all of the 26 clips that you have sent me are now on their own page on my soundboard software. So they will now be in the mix after this podcast.
That's a great honor.
Okay.
That's a great Jervis.
Okay. Yes. Yes. All right. So, Megan, why don't you get things started and give us the first entry to this list?
Sure. And before I do that, I do want to say that this will slightly spoil some of the kind of notes that are hit heavy in the evolution of strategy, if that matters to someone, although I don't think it will.
Well, let me just add in here, if anybody has never listened to any of the evolution of strategy, we do a lot of serious talk about things. And so there is a lot of serious exploration of every strategic point in the first 30 seasons of Survivor. But for the non-strategic things, you know, we will get pretty wacky about certain things. So it's really, there's really two gears in, we only know two ways to do things. We either are very serious or very silly. And these are probably touching on a lot of the silly. So if you don't want to have, I wouldn't say that any jokes are ruined, but we're going to be certainly touching on things that come up a lot.
By the way, Rob, I put some thought into this. I think if we ever had an RHAP lip sync battle, I think the spoiler alert song would be what I would open with. I think I could really crush it in lip syncing the spoiler alert bumper.
Boy, Megan, that's a real non sequitur.
I know. We were talking about spoilers, and I think that's the one in my car that I'm really great at.
I've never heard that before, but that's good to know. Good to know. Okay. Also, I would say that if you did not listen to the evolution of strategy, I think that will only minimally impact your enjoyment of this podcast today. So if you have no plans and aren't going to listen to it, I think that you will probably enjoy this at least, you know, 60% as much as somebody who did listen to all of it.
All right, we're shooting for 60.
Okay,
that's a good.
Aim low.
Aim low. Yeah. That's laying
low
that for me.
Okay. All right, Megan. All right. What is the first item on your list? What is this, number 25?
Yes. So number 25. So we're going to start off in Survivor Pearl Islands. Lil has returned to the game after the outcast twist. Upon the tribes merging into the Balboa tribe, RIP Balboa the Snake. Two-time Survivor player, nemesis of Stephen Fishback, and all-around hot wife-haver, Andrew Savage, asks Lil if she's going to stay loyal to the Morgan tribe who voted her out or defect to Drake. And Lil responds to Savage with this.
Okay, so what I've done is I've pulled the longer version of the clip from the episode. So we'll listen to that, and then we'll have the soundbite version as well. So let's go back to Survivor Pearl Islands. Here is Andrew Savage with Lil.
You guys would have ditched me in a minute if we stayed as Morgans. I had immunity.
You don't think they would? You don't think they would?
I don't know.
Please.
I don't know.
It's very naive.
I have not totally decided yet. And that's all I can say. I have not totally decided yet.
You let me know before.
I'll jump off the horse.
Remember I asked you to let me know before? And you didn't?
Yeah, Lil, remember that? Remember when you told me that you were going to... You were going to say that? Remember, you told me you were going to go on the Survivor Wiki and you were going to update my information, and then you didn't, Andrew? You were going to tell me that story?
Lil, look, you made the list.
Yeah. Oh, good. Finally. Yeah, so here is what I pulled for the soundboard. We just have...
Remember I asked you to let me know before?
Yeah, remember?
Remember, Lil?
Remember you said I was going to get on the soundboard?
Lil, so you should just be happy your name isn't Liliana, because then nobody would remember you. So you're good, Lil.
That is a very fair point. She is certainly the Lil that doesn't suck.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what do you think that Lil's reaction would have been to Andrew Savage playing in Survivor Second Chance?
I think Lil would probably just be not amused by Andrew Savage's stories about his wife, and just would be... Maybe Lil would have, like, fire in her eyes and revenge for Savage. That actually could have been a little interesting.
I think it would have been good if they could have only considered her to be in the mix for the second chances. You know, it's funny that in the Evolution Strategy that Josh and I famously said, Andrew Savage, I think we're good here. I don't think we need to see Andrew Savage ever get a second chance. And then cut to only about maybe 6 months or so after, probably more than that, probably like, 8 or 9 months after we said that, then here comes Andrew Savage in the mix for Survivor's Second Chance.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to point to in the Evolution of Strategy that just a few weeks away, you guys are predicting incredibly wrong or incredibly right in some cases.
Very few instances. So, Lil, welcome to the soundboard.
Remember I asked you to let me know before?
Yes, yes. Okay, now we're letting you know that you are on the soundboard now, Lil, so congratulations.
All right. So moving on to number 24, the next clip comes to us from
Hold on, Megan.
Marquesa.
Let me just ask you that in terms of your rankings, is this the things that tickled you, the things that you most thought needed to be on the soundboard? How did you put this list together?
Sure. So a lot of it comes into, you know, how good was the actual quote? Like the Lil I don't know stuff, to me, the actual clip isn't as great as your and Josh's impression of her saying it. So to me, this one gets kind of bumped down towards the bottom of the list just because of what it actually sounds like. And then
why
also
do you have
to
bump down my quote?
Lil, you made the list. Be happy.
Just thought I could have been higher on the list. Everybody's always trying to keep me down.
But to me, I think sometimes as the soundboard is almost like the RHAP password or RHAP passcodes, it's something that, you know, outside of listening to the podcast, if you hear somebody say something in real life, if you hear somebody say, this is huge or a sticky situation, you kind of have that smile in the back of your head that, oh, this is, you know, a little kind of secret password I have out in the world that reminds me of RHAP. So it's got to be something like that, too. And very rarely is anybody ever saying, remember, I asked you to let me know. I don't know.
Okay, good. All right. So number 24 on your list. Where do you want to go with this?
Sure. So our next clip comes to us from the Marquesa finale. Pascal steps up in his freshest Reebok clothing. And while giving his speech, he utters a very classic Pascal line.
Well, I haven't really prepared anything. I was more concerned about being here. Both of you ladies are completely deserving, in my opinion, of being the ultimate survivor. You are both the epitome of what this great country of ours has to offer.
Wow. Yeah, Pascal, that was the epitome of a Pascal quote.
That was the epitome of a Pascal quote.
Yes. So ultimately, what I cut from that, I'm not sure how often we have a chance to use this, but we have.
You are both the epitome of what this great country of ours has to offer.
Maybe we could say that if we do any election coverage on RHAP. We can always have that in our back pocket.
See, I'm more thinking you'd use it ironically when, like, Dan Foley says something.
Yes.
You are both the epitome of what this great country of ours has to offer.
Yeah. You know, it does really speak to the fact that, you know, Pascal maybe did not have his head in the game at that point. He was just like, really just like, I'm just happy to be alive at this point and have made it to the final tribal council. I didn't really have a question. He's really like, it's really like he has like it's the dog ate my homework of jury speeches. He's like, all right, Pascal, your turn to ask a question.
Well, I haven't really prepared anything. I was.
Yeah, he's really.
What's the music?
Well, they're really just trying to build something up here. I mean, because remember, he passed out after he got the purple rock. He was just in such shock that he had to be hospitalized. Like, he didn't come to the tribal council. I think he wasn't at the final three tribal council. They said he was having, like, medical treatment. And then they got him in there for the final tribal council so he can cast a vote.
Could have been like James and showed up with an IV.
Yeah, that would have been good. So, all right. So far, these two clips have been great.
You are both the epitome of what this great country of ours has to offer.
Yes, both clips so far. Just the epitome of what the Evolutionist Strategy has to offer so far.
All right. So moving down on the list to number 23, we're going to take it to your season, Survivor the Amazon. And this is actually something from the reunion show. Jeff has one of his most classic journeys back to the States to reveal the votes. And he takes the most practical method of transportation, a jet ski, which is how I like to get from place to place always. During the reunion show, he goes to talk to First Boot, Ryan Aiken, and he has this to say about Jeff's journey.
That Ryan was the first one voted out. What is that like to be on an all-guys tribe, and think you're the hottest guy, and then you're going home 3 days later?
I was unpacking. First of all, I like the jet ski thing. That was pretty cheap.
Yeah, the great question that Josh and I debated for quite some time in the evolution strategy was, that's pretty cheap. Was that a positive or a negative comment on the jet ski bit?
I mean, I think we've gone along playing that it's a good thing, but it sounds like an insult every time I hear it.
Well, he says that was pretty good.
First of all, I like the jet ski thing. That was pretty cheap.
He said, I like the jet ski. That was pretty cheap.
This is the same person who, I don't remember if it's a sentence before or a sentence after, also says his strategy was to not have a strategy. So I don't know how reliable Ryan is here.
Yeah. I do feel like that we will have some use for having this on the soundboard.
That was pretty cheap.
So, will I use it in something is good or something is bad or ironically good?
Maybe when Trish is just talking about cheapo depots, you could have just thrown in that this is pretty cheap.
That was pretty cheap.
Yeah. So maybe when we go through like the auction coverage of like if they ever do the auction again, like, so Shireen got a letter from home, only $20.
That was pretty cheap.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe in some of the commercials that I do on the podcast where I could say like, for just, $5 a month, you could get this sent to your house.
That was pretty cheap.
Yes, it's very cheap. A great deal. A perfect deal for you.
Great deals by Ryan Aiken.
Yeah. So come on down to Ryan Aiken's jet ski warehouse.
That was pretty cheap.
Yeah. I'm always tickled by any Ryan Aiken commentary on anything.
I could imagine.
Yes, yes. Fantastic. What a true character of Survivor. So, Megan, all right, that was number 23 for Ryan Aiken.
That was pretty cheap.
So, yeah, pretty cheap on your list, I thought, overall. So, where are you going with number 22?
Sure. So, 22 is going to take us to the Philippines. And Mike Scoopin obviously knows all the secrets to life, full of great quotes, including... You want to make the news or watch the news. But in episode 13, he's very good at that. In episode 13 of Survivor Philippines, Malcolm, Lisa, and Scoopin are on a yacht reward. Mike Scoopin is sugar wasted because he's had too much pop to drink. It's time to get down.
I thought
and
you
talk
meant wasted strategy. Like sugar.
Oh.
That was pretty cheap.
Yeah, sorry
that was
about
pretty
that.
Cheap. It was pretty cheap dig there, Rob.
Sorry.
It's time to talk strategy, and they're trying to solidify the final three. And Scoopin says, you don't want to be like Penner. You don't want to be like...
How dare he say that?
From my perspective, he's never lied to me. You've never lied to me. We've never lied to him. I like cementing a deal. Having something that's done is, you know, you end up like Penner. Let me think about it. Let me think about it. Let me think about it. And then you come back and you say, it's too late, Larry. You're too late, Larry.
Yeah. You don't want to be a too late Larry.
You're too late, Larry.
You're too late, Larry. You don't want to be
that.
I mean,
that. I'm just praying for Larry on Survivor. This is just made for whoever Larry is, wherever he's coming from, his Survivor dream. And we've got this quote ready for him in the bag.
Yeah. The whole season, we could call him Too Late Larry. It's too late Larry. Mike Scoopin, you're right. He really does seem to have all the answers about anything.
He does. He does. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a great deal for you to check out. You don't want to be Too Late Larry. Don't be like Penner.
You're Too Late Larry.
Yeah. I'm sure Penner did not appreciate
that.
Yeah. It's this deal. It's cheap.
That was pretty cheap.
Yes. Yeah. Get in now. All right, let's get out of Mike Scoopin before we really get into trouble with any of this stuff. All right, Megan.
I would agree. Let's get out of there.
Yes. No good can come from this.
No, let's run away quickly. All right, on to 21. Going back to the Pearl Islands. It's time to talk about who is going to sit out at the reward challenge at the Drake Tribe. And Sandra and John get in an argument, and this is what Sandra has to say.
Yeah, this is really a fun clip that I was really just laughing going back and watching it, because they are in the midst of like this argument, which is they're talking about like on the first day they had to swim somewhere, and apparently Sandra swam faster than Johnny Fairplay in wherever they were swimming, and Johnny Fairplay is trying to say that the reason for that was because he was carrying something, or he had like something in his pockets that was like really slowing him down.
Full of excuses.
So here is Johnny Fairplay and Sandra getting into it in the Pearl Islands.
Okay, we were swimming to shore, I had her glasses in my sock. I couldn't kick my legs, so I swam with just my arms. And how much did you beat me by? Using your entire body to swim and me just using my arms?
What day? Day one.
Swim from the boat. You beat me by so bad. How much did
swimming
you beat me by?
Swimming to the boat. What are you talking about?
Swimming from the boat. When we jumped off the boat and we went to the shore. If you beat me so bad and I just used my arms, how bad did you beat me?
You know what? I can get loud too. What the I can get loud too.
I don't want to argue with
yes. A quote often cited by Josh talking about Sandra. So we now have this added to the soundboard.
You know what? I can get loud too. What the f***?
What is he even talking about that? Whose glass did he have in his sock?
Did he say glasses? Like, did he have someone's eyeglasses in his sock? Like, it seems like you could put those in your hand.
Yeah, I don't know. Here, let's try to listen again.
Okay.
Okay. Why like when we were swimming to shore, okay. I had her glass in my sock. I couldn't kick my legs, so I swam.
It sounds like I had her glass in my sock.
You know, I'm not sure. This is the same Fair Play who says about 5 seconds after that I have $1 million that Sandra won't be the final one. So,
yeah, a lot of people seem to get that wrong. In that race between Johnny Fairplay and Sandra, sounds like Sandra got there first. Sounds like Johnny Fairplay might have been.
You're too late, Larry.
Too late, Larry.
That's right.
I don't know if Larry was carrying a glass that whole way. Yeah, but the Sandra stuff versus Johnny Fairplay, always very fun.
Always.
Yeah. Can you think of a scenario on the podcast where I might be using the I can get loud too clip?
I think anytime you get a good argument between people, I think anytime you have somebody who's a particularly loud talker.
You know what? I can get loud too. What the f***?
Yeah, I'm not sure the scenario in which somebody is like yelling at me and I just come back at them with,
you know what? I can get loud too. What the f***?
But we'll see.
We'll see. You never know.
You never know, but it is a fun clip to have at the ready. All right, so we have Johnny Fairplay versus Sandra. Where are we going next?
All right, so number 20, we're going to Samoa.
Okay, you're going to Samoa. Perfect.
I'm going to Samoa, yes. And the Fofoa tribe receives tree mail that it's time for a rumble. And this particularly fires up the person that was voted 411 out of 424 in the last RHAP player ranking, Mike Barassi. He puts his beard in a ponytail, says he is ready to die trying, and here's what he has to say.
Yeah, he's really getting very pumped up. And just take a listen to how many premonitions there are here in this clip of Mike Barassi getting ready to go play Schmergen Brawl.
Mike's been dying for this since day one.
This is the one where I have to prove myself, show my stuff. I'm a mean motor scooter and a bad go-getter, man, when it comes to one-on-one stuff.
Fight dirty around here, Mike. You're from New York, I know.
Yeah. Someone's getting hurt. It ain't our team. I'm going to take him downtown to Chinatown, man. I'm waiting for this. Or I'll die trying.
And then promptly gets medically evacuated.
Yeah. I mean, the clip even starts with them saying, oh, Mike, he's done. Like Ben Browning is like, Mike's dying for this. And he's like, hey, somebody's getting hurt today. And it ain't going to be me. Which I realize that maybe Mike Barassi and Glenn from Big Brother might be the same person now.
They might be.
And he also adds in there, hey, I'll die trying. I don't care. And he did.
He did. But, you know, he'd make his triumphant return a few years later at the RHEP roast. So it's all good.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't decide which half of this I liked more for the soundboard. So I decided to, I cut.
I'm a mean motor scooter and a bad go-getter.
mean motor scooter and a bad go-getter. And then I also wanted to have...
I'm going to take him downtown to Chinatown.
I don't know which one would be more relevant or I might get more use out of, but I put them both on there.
That's good. It's always good to have a good mean motor scooter in your back pocket.
Do you think that Jeff Probst will ever enter a Survivor reunion on a mean motor scooter?
I'm a mean motor scooter and a bad go-getter.
Ryan, what did you think of Mike Barassi on the mean motor scooter?
That was pretty cheap.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are you going to do, Mike Barassi?
Survivor 75, he could be coming in on his hover round, and that's what we'll have to say.
Yeah. Hopefully they just hold that finale downtown in Chinatown if yes. They want Mike Barassi to be there. Poor Mike Barassi. The Schmergen brawl. They had to take it out after that. It was too much. We lost too much from Schmergen brawl. The juice was not worth the squeeze.
It was not.
Yeah. All right, Megan, what's number 19 on your list?
All right. Number 19, going to Survivor Cook's Island 1.
Yes.
And famous mutineer, storyteller, bad luck, Johnny Jonathan Penner is at the Merge
yes.
Feast.
A real Too Late Larry, right?
Yes, a real Larry. Too Late Larry.
Yes.
Yes. He's, of course, trying to win that one with six zeros at the end of it.
Yes.
But there's a little bit too much alcohol drinking, and Penner has this to say about the Raro kids.
Yeah, they're at the Merge, and they're on a boat, and apparently it's a bit of a booze cruise on this boat. And so I don't know if anybody had to hold their glass as they were going through
pocket.
The water, but yes. So here's Penner commenting on his tribe mates who are having a little too much fun on the boat.
Raro kids, all they wanted to do was get faded, which is not what we used to call it.
Yes, Penner hated it, that these Raro kids, they just want to get faded. Not what I'm calling it.
Get faded.
Yeah, I see a lot of use for that.
I do too. And I also blame Adam for everything. For all the Raro kids getting in trouble.
Yeah. It seems like it must have been like a real scene going on at that boat because it really starts off like, I don't know what kind of movie this is where we're seeing like the montage of them drinking.
Carrying me off the boat tonight.
The Raro kids, all they wanted to do was get faded. With-
Yeah. Must have been a real scene on that boat. Too much getting faded. Well, so what did Penner call it in his time?
I mean, I'm assuming he just called it getting drunk, wasted. Well, you know what? No, I bet Penner had a real special word for it. Penner wouldn't use just like normal phrases.
Yeah.
I bet he had something even better.
Yeah, it's like we were getting three sheets to the wind, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure he has some good euphemisms, but
yes.
Yeah, not get faded. Now, is get faded a Gen X term? Would the millennials say they got faded?
I think that technically there's probably some millennials in that group. Do you think any of them made the cut as millennials?
Why, who's a millennial there? Parvati?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like some of these are some loosey-goosey rules here with who's a millennial and
who's not.
You know,
I feel like there's a lot of hoser millennials out there that are like, oh, yeah, I'm a millennial. And I'm like, you're like 2 years younger than I am. Stop it. Stop with being these poser millennials.
Do you want to be a millennial? Is it even a good thing?
I think there's a lot of Gen Xers out there that are saying they're millennials.
All right. Well.
How about that for a hot take?
That's a hot take.
Yeah.
I can hear the sizzles.
I can get loud too. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna bring this topic any further.
I'm gonna be
like
calling out some Gen Xers posing as millennials in these next couple of months on this podcast. Okay.
Well, I can only make the assumption that we're gonna do a cast of all stars, Gen Xers versus millennials. So we'll see who makes the cut.
Yeah, we'll
there.
See who makes the cut. And to you Gen Xers out there that are saying you're millennials, to me, you guys are a bunch of...
You're too late, Larry.
Yeah, you're too late, Larry. Stop it. You're too late, Gen Xers. So stop it. Stop saying it. All right. Good. Very happy to have Get Faded on the soundboard now.
Get Faded.
All right. Good. All right. We are not faded. we're going along. Actually, getting faded, was that what used to happen to people who were losers at the end of each episode of The Quest? Was that what they did?
I 100% listened to every Quest podcast, and I could not tell you one thing about it.
They used to get faded. Is that what happened? Okay.
Is that what happened?
I think so. All right. We'll have to check in with, I wish I could remember one of the, Shambo? No, Shando? I think that was one
nope,
of the guys.
Shambo's from Survivor.
Yes, yes.
But I think I have an idea of who you're talking about. I can't remember off the top of my head, though.
All right. Megan, what is the next clip on your list?
Sure. So number 18, we're going to Guatemala. And the damn Judge Sergeant, the fourth man, was in the minority of folks on a reward challenge. So he ended up getting, the plot was set to blindside him. He gets voted out and he's not too happy about it. And he has this to say.
Yeah. And of course, one of the highlights of the evolution strategy is when Josh Wiggler does Judd impressions. And this is really the height of Judd in Survivor Guatemala. Here is the scene where he is voted out.
Judd. 3 votes, Judd. 2 votes, Lydia. 1 vote left. Thirteenth person voted out of Survivor Guatemala. Judd.
Thanks, guys. Hope you guys all get bit by a freaking crocodile. Scumbags.
All right, so I just pulled the
scumbags.
Yep, I think that's what you need.
Yeah, I don't know what scumbags we have this that we're going to be referring to. Maybe these Gen Xers posing as millennials.
Scumbags.
But we have it. We have it. We're ready to go.
Justice for Judd, though, where was his second chance?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that he ended up just being too far away from the fans versus favorites because they don't take anybody back from Guatemala for that. And I just think that they got lost in the shuffle.
Too far away. Would you dare you say he is a too late Larry?
Yeah, I think that that's what happened.
You're too late Larry.
Yeah. And then don't piss Judd off.
Scumbags.
I think that he was in the mix at different, like from different people I've talked to. I think he was in the mix at certain points, but I don't know if he's on the short list at this point in time.
All right. Well, maybe someday.
Very sad. Very sad to say about Judd. But I think that what they did, from what I've heard, I think that they told him that they would just, like, if a season came up that it worked, they would let him know.
Remember I asked you to let me know before?
No, Lil, I do not recall that. I'm sorry.
Survivor doormen versus bartenders.
Yes, I think that would be a great season of the show. And then, of course, the bartenders could excel.
Get faded.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
They would know what's going on with that. Okay, all right. And Judd is always there to hold the door for everybody along the way. So, yeah. Megan, number 17 on your list.
All right, number 17, we're going to Thailand.
Good.
And from a not so great situation, we get our next clip, Ted Rogers Jr. Truly sticky situation. Had Grindgate with Gandia. But as we all know, there's only one thing we can do to clear the tension, and that's always hold a tribe meeting. They always go over really well. And Ted has taken some time to think about the situation. But ultimately here, he's got some definitive math.
Yes.
To speak to here. So here's our next clip.
Okay. Well, let me just set this up a little bit further by in the evolution of strategy, Josh and I really take a deep dive into the Grindgate situation, which I feel like was sort of dealt with in the 2002 of it all. In, hey, look at this wacky thing that happened out here on the Chewygon tribe. We think that this would have been handled a lot differently. And I think that yes, there would have been a lot more people team Gandia if this was to play out in 2016. But we're not here to dive into that. We're just here to talk about the insanity of what Ted is saying here in his efforts to defend himself against these charges here in Grindgate.
Yes.
You was trying to get with me.
No. No. First of all, I don't need to get with you.
I know you
Second
don't.
Of all, I'm not even attracted to you. So, I mean, it's not even about that. I am 150 to 200% happy with the wife that I have.
Happy anniversary, Mrs. Ted. Ted is not trying to get with Gandia. That is incorrect because he is 150 to 200% happy with his wife. I do feel like 150% happy with his wife.
That was pretty cheap.
Yeah, that was a little cheap.
Yeah, you
there,
can do
Ted.
Better than that.
Yes. Personally, I am 200% to 250% happy with my wife. So how about that, Big Ted?
Now, Rob, we've heard some much higher percentages in the evolutionist strategy. If I were you, I would bump that up a little bit.
Yeah, you think that 200 to 250% is still...
That was pretty cheap.
Too cheap?
Pretty cheap. I think we can do better. I think we can do better than that.
What percent do you need to get out there to in survivor percentages to let the person that you were married to know you are serious about how happy you are, your approval ratings?
I mean, I think we got to even just start with 150,000%.
150,000%, not even 155,000%?
Is that it? Then yes.
Yes, that was the exact number. Is the starting point now 156,000% to 157,000% happy?
Yes. Any less than that, and you're going to be in trouble.
Yes.
I am 150 to 200% happy with the wife that I have.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitive Ted math.
Definitive Ted math. And so that leaves a little bit of like a margin for error, too. Is that sort of like, is Ted actually 175% happy with his wife? Or do you think it sort of like fluctuates? Well, you know, I felt like that you were a little short with me today. So it's down to about 155 or, you know, today. What, you know, this is really a banner day. 195% happy today.
But we're never going over 200.
Yes, yes. It doesn't matter what Mrs. Ted does. That on that day, like, we max out at 200.
I think you do. You can always be safe with saying, I am at the very least 100% happy with you. And then it's just the ceiling goes up from there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good to know. And I'm not sure exactly the point in which we would be using.
I am 150 to 200% happy with the wife that I have.
maybe that might just be for the patron 5 for 5. Maybe I might have to use that.
use at your own caution with that one.
Okay. Thank you, Big Ted, for adding to our percentage math. Okay. So number 16 on your list. By the way, Megan, I am 150 to 200% happy with your list so far.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That was pretty cheap.
No, I'm very happy. Stop it, Ryan.
Get out of here, Ryan. All right.
I'm
so,
downtown to Chinatown.
Yeah, there we go. I can get loud too.
Yeah. All right. WTF.
All right. So number 16, we're going to the pre-merge of Survivor One World. The men have just won immunity, but the plan is to hand that immunity over to the women that they can vote out all-star comedian Bill Posley. part of the plan includes Tarzan, fake scolding Leaf. But really, they keep talking about this plan. And the man of your wife's dreams, the man of your wife who you are 150 to 200% happy with, Jay Byers, has one thing to say about this plan.
So this is the men chatting it up about this plan. Also, note, I feel like that Bill Posley has a very odd pronunciation of Leaf here in this clip as well. So here is Survivor One World.
How about you, Bill?
Man, this game's crazy. But if I vote with the rest of the group to go to Tribal and vote Leivoff while he's in hot water and people are angry, that serves my purpose immensely.
I have you guys know I'm completely bum-puzzled right now.
All right, there you go. Jay Byers saying, I am bum-puzzled right now.
I'm completely bum-puzzled right now.
I am completely bum-puzzled right now. What is Bill Posley even saying about... Did he say Leif?
Leif.
He said Leif?
Leif.
Right? I mean, what? How does he not know this person's name here in this clip?
How about you, Bill?
Man, this game's crazy. But if I vote with the rest of the group to go to tribal and vote Lavoff while he's...
Pronunciation for that guy's name is out the window. Poor Leif.
Poor Leif.
Poor Leif. So, yes. So there we go. For anybody who is bum puzzled in the future, we now have that clip ready to go.
I mean, and lucky for Jay, the editors weren't bum puzzled. They named the episode after that. Yes. So good for him.
That is good. That is good. And it turns out that Jay was actually good at puzzles. He was not bum puzzled when he had to win a puzzle to actually win an immunity in this season.
Exactly.
He was only bum puzzled about the strategy of what him and Troyzan should have been doing to go against Kim and not be telling Kim that Troyzan has an idol.
So close. So close.
Yes.
I'm completely bum-puzzled right now.
Yeah, he was completely bum-puzzled in terms of what to be doing with the strategy, but not with an actual puzzle.
Not with an actual puzzle. Yep.
Megan, what is number 15 on your list?
All right. Number 15, we're going to blood versus water.
Yes.
It's the first immunity challenge, and Jervis, who we know from all the way back in season one, has been called out before as a city boy who never swam in his life. He's in the challenge, not performing so well. Definitely the fixation of Jeff during the challenge saying, you know, Jervis is exhausted. Jervis can't get up. Aris does give him an inspirational pep talk, calls him Aquaman. However, Jervis still gets to the end of the challenge and sits on the floor during the puzzle portion, but gets a shot of energy after hearing the tribes won and has this to say about four or five times, actually.
This is the first immunity challenge in Blood versus Water.
Go on! Wins! Immunity! And fire in the form of flame!
Don't let that fool you, baby! Don't let that fool you! Don't let that fool you!
Next time.
Don't let that fool you!
Okay, so, Megan, what exactly is Jervis telling the other team to not let what fool them?
I'm going to go with Jervis logic here and say, don't underestimate us. Even though they were the returnees, so they would be the favored people to win the challenge. Mm-hmm. Jervis logic.
Okay, so I do feel like that we've talked about this. I feel like since Blood versus Water was on, was Jervis allegedly claiming that he was faking doing bad in that challenge, that he actually did know how to swim and he was pretending to do bad? I'm not sure. But if that was indeed the case, isn't it counterintuitive to say, hey, remember when I was faking being bad at swimming in this challenge? Do not let that fool you. Do not let it fool you. When I was trying to fool you, don't let it fool you. So wait, which is it, Jervis?
I mean, the tape is pretty damning. It doesn't really look like Jervis is trying to fool anybody. He looks pretty flimsy out there.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought that that Jervis looked pretty faded out there.
Faded.
Yeah. So, and I can say that you and I, to this day, are both.
I'm completely bum-puzzled right now.
I don't know who Jervis is saying that, if he was trying to fool them, why then after the fact say, don't let me fool you?
Don't let that fool you, Rob.
Yes. I mean, it really feels like it defeats the purpose of the chicanery to then say after the fact, hey, don't let my trickery fool you. I should say like, oh, wow, we were lucky today that my team was able to overcome my performance of me faking me not swimming well today.
I think we're overthinking this. I think he just got a shot of testosterone and he just, you know, he had one thing on his mind, which is don't let that fool you. So he just said it on repeat.
Don't let that fool you, baby. Don't let that fool you.
Okay. I don't know where we're going to use that on the soundboard, but we have it ready to go.
Maybe when there's a fake immunity idol.
Or
you could.
Or maybe during the Rupert Tweets game, after I get somebody to pick the wrong tweet, then I can say,
don't let that fool you, baby! Don't let that fool you!
Yeah.
Oh, it was a Billy Garcia tweet. So close.
Yes.
Don't let that fool you, baby! Don't let that fool you!
So there you go. All right. That's number 15. All right. We're in the top 14, baby. So, Megan, what is the number 14 clip on your list?
All right. Number 14, we're going to Heroes versus Villains. And King Russell has decided to leave the shelter after Coach is going on telling one of his stories. And Russell decides to start lamenting about Boston God and how he wants to create some chaos on the villains tribe. And he has this to say.
Yes. And from one of my favorite chapters that we did in TEOS, Heroes versus Villains, a classic Russell Hance rant.
This is going to be wonderful because it's not just going to be the machete. Old Boston Rob likes that hat, don't he? I think he will go nuts with how this little bee hat. I don't even like the Boston Red Sox. It's the Houston Astros, baby.
Yes, a classic Russell Hance rant.
Oh, Rob, he's going to go crazy. I'll take the machete. That's a good thing. I don't even like that little bee hat.
He doesn't like the Boston Red Sox. And again, I don't know at what point we will use this, that we don't talk about the Boston Red Sox that much, but
I don't even like the Boston Red Sox.
We did get a lot of mileage in TEOS of talking about all the things that Russell Hance doesn't even like.
Yes, Russell Hance in the TEOS didn't like anything, I think.
I don't even
like Natalie.
TEOS. He's not a liker of many things.
No, he is not.
He likes the Houston Astros, baby. That much we know. Hats with bees on them, he does not care for.
What a specific thing to not like.
Yeah, he doesn't even like that little bee hat.
He likes Michaela.
He does. There are a number of female survivors that he does like. And he does seem to, all of the women from the Beauty Tribe this season, he did seem like very enamored with. So there is one, at least in the BBB season, there is, I like that one little bee tribe, the Beauty Tribe. That's it. Brawn, brains. No, that's no good. But he does like the Beauty Tribes in all these seasons.
Yes,
we know
he
where
does.
We know. Yeah, he could be honorary captain maybe in a future season down the road. All right. Number 13 on your list. Where are you going, Megan?
All right. Number 13, we're going to bring it back here. We're going to bring it all the way back to Survivor Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And during the merge episode, T-Bird voted with Clarence against
she had a little
Lex.
A hat.
Yes, yes, exactly. And Clarence went home, but the next day they're back in the Boma. And Lex is pretty displeased that someone voted for him, and he's ready to throw shade. Lex always says he trusts his gut, and then he knows T-Bird is innocent, but T-Bird has something to confess.
Okay, here is Lex on the prowl, grilling T-Bird, and then T-Bird revealing to us.
And I'm just not even going to put it anymore. It's just not even going to put it. It was because somebody around here is claiming to be something that they're not.
Of course, they figured that Clarence had voted in. They had to figure out who the other person was. It was me.
Very dramatic sting at the end. I feel like that this could really be useful when we do T-Bird tweets during the season.
What's your name?
!! All caps.
Yeah. So she has a lot of caps in her tweets that are always like, I can't believe what just happened in this episode. They're like, are you kidding me? Gen X team, beat those millennials.
What's your name?
What's me?
Yeah. So we'll see if we get some good use out of that this upcoming season. And travesty that we still have not seen T-Bird end up coming back. I don't even like that little T-Bird. Hey, watch it, Russell. Take it easy.
The sun will come out tomorrow for T-Bird.
Yes, we hope so.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Also, every time I hear the word Boma, I just want to say Boogie Down Boma. That just sounds like it just yes. sounds like a place I want to be is the Boogie Down Boma.
Yeah, you want to take people down to the Boogie Down Boma. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to take him downtown to Chinatown.
Downtown to the Boogie Down Boma. Megan, number yes. 12 on your list.
All
Where
right.
are you going?
Number 12, we're going to Survivor All-Stars. So I guess from one Lex-related clip to another.
Yeah, the Lex
and this
segment.
Is, yes, this is the Lex portion of the list. And this is a fulcrum moment in the show.
A fulcrum vote.
Exactly. BR obviously had previous in the game asked Lex to take care of the meatball sub-loving Amber. And when it comes time for Lex and Kathy Vio to kind of get Rob to pay up on his debts, this is what he has to say.
Okay, this is from that epic conversation between Rob, Lex, and Kathy back in Survivor All-Stars.
After asking me for a special friend favor, I made an agreement with them.
I asked you for a favor.
It's about being betrayed by my friend.
Right.
It's about getting a knife in the back.
Like, honestly, I don't know what you want me to say, Lex. I know, like...
I want you to say that you're gonna be true to the word you gave me.
The word I gave you, make no mistake about it, Lex. Between you and I, and you want to put our friendship on the line, I'll put our friendship on the line over this. The word I gave you was that if I can take care of you, I will. I'm sorry, I cannot.
Yes. Good day, sir. The word I gave to you was, if I can take care of you, I will. I'm sorry, I cannot. There
Nailed
you go.
It.
I like when Lex asks, I'm asking you for a special friend favor.
I made an agreement.
That's really, that's big time. A special friend favor.
Special friend favor. Have you ever asked somebody for a special friend favor?
I am 150 to 200% happy with the wife that I have.
No special friend favors asking from anybody. That's right. I also like in that scene, I was watching the whole thing when I was cutting it. Like, I liked it when Kathy is like, babe. It's just, I mean, Everett is very sad in that scene, but it is funny to watch. It's like, this man. He was gonna take you to the final four. Like, oh wow, thanks a lot. Yeah,
that was pretty cheap.
That's pretty cheap, Kathy.
Pretty cheap.
He's going to the final two. It's not a great deal, Kathy.
Babe, come on.
So yeah, that I don't know exactly at what point we have this, but now we have Boston Rob on the soundboard.
The word I gave you was that if I can take care of you, I will. I'm sorry, I cannot.
Again, I don't know what point. That's coming up, but we have it. So, number 11 on your list. What
All right. Number 11. We're going back to Guatemala. And
Season 11.
Season 11. Yep. Yeah, look at that. It's like it's a champagne listing. going back to Guatemala, and we know that this challenge, been in a challenge. The season winner is Danny. Yelled out that undercover landscaper extraordinaire Gary Hogaboom is actually a quarterback.
Yes.
And Gary's tribe mates decide that they, specifically Amy O'Hara, is, you know, not too pleased about this, and she's going to look him up afterwards, and she has this to say to Gary Hawkins.
This is a great quote. This is a great clip, and very funny as I was pulling this yesterday. Here is Amy talking with Gary, quote-unquote, Hawkins.
I'll be honest. I'm not going to lie about anything. I'm just going to want to sell myself. You can lie.
I can lie.
But I'll kick your ass afterwards. I'm going to find you in Michigan. I'll put in Gary Hawkins, 46. It'll come bing, bing, bing. Cell phones, address, maps. I'll call the locals over there. Can you give me the lowdown on Mr. Gary Hawkins, ex-professional football player?
Ex-professional football? Yeah, I will.
Yeah. If you lie and I found it after, I'm going to beat you down like a stepchild.
Okay. So many things in that clip. First off, would hate to be Amy's stepchild because that doesn't sound fun.
I'm yes. gonna beat you down.
Number two, what kind of computer does Amy have that's going to show these Google results for Gary Hawkins?
I'll put in Gary Hawkins, 46. It'll come bing, bing, bing. Cell phones, address, maps.
So it makes some sort of a sound effect like bing, bing, bing.
Bing, bing, bing.
Maybe that's what the police department is, right? Wasn't she a police officer? Maybe the police department
goes,
bing, bing,
bing.
Oh, yeah,
pull up his phone number. Yeah.
Yep.
Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah. So watch out, Gary Hawkins. Gary Hawkins is screwed.
Yes, absolutely.
Gary Hawkins is really, he's going to get beaten down, really. And, police brutality, perhaps even. If Michigan police end up beating down some Gary Hawkins based on the fact that he lied about his occupation. I feel like that this would have been a big news story that we would have heard about.
The hit was out on Gary, on all Gary Hawkins in Michigan.
I'm going to beat you down.
Yeah. Some poor Gary Hawkins was just then terrorized by the police department. This is a great clip. I feel like that we could use this a lot.
Are you going to beat you down?
I am going to beat you down, Gary Hawkins. All right. Good stuff. Good pull there with Amy. We'll beat down Gary Hawkins.
Bing, bing, bing.
Thank you.
Good job. We'll use that.
All right. So moving forward on the list, we're here at the top 10 already.
Baby. Yes.
Top 10, baby. And we're going to Palau, and it's the reward challenge time. And everyone's favorite disaster tribe, the Oolong tribe, has been given the exhausting task of pick one team member, and they can't even do that. So they basically throw James Miller under the bus to be the team representative. But he's pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think they didn't know if it was going to be something bad or not, and they couldn't decide. So then he just sort of gets drafted into this, and we find out that he is going to be tasked with some sort of construction job here by Jeff Probst.
Yes.
James, get up on here on the barge.
You okay with that?
All right.
All right.
James is worried. I wasn't trying to be the leader. They picked me. But luckily they did pick me, because if they didn't, we wouldn't have got the tools that we needed to build our laboratory.
My stuff!
Yeah, Josh really perfected the James Miller.
My stuff!
Which I'm sure we will have some use for the James Miller My Stuff clip.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's in the clip. He's like, look at this. This is a hammer with a hatchet on the back. Like, it's like, yeah. I mean, I could have told you that, James. You're not really impressing me with dropping this knowledge. I didn't have to Google it and be like, bing, bing, bing. Oh, hammer with a hatchet on the back of it.
Bing, bing, bing.
This is a nail. What?
My stuff.
Good job there by you, and good job there by James. So
you are both the epitome of what this great country of ours has to offer.
Yes, you and James. Aww.
Thank you. Thank you. James, myself, and our stuff is very happy.
Yes, yes. All of our soundboard stuff is getting better by the second.
All right, good.
Okay.
Okay, here. Number 9. Survivor has had a lot of epic challenges that we talked about in TEOS. Fiji dance battle.
That was pretty cheap.
Yeah.
That was pretty cheap. That was actually, I mean, legitimately a cheap challenge. Let's just put on some music and make them dance.
Yeah.
You guys have $4 for this challenge. Here, just take the CD and the CD player.
Go for it. Go for it.
But we had a classic challenge brought to us in Borneo, which was the Survivor Blair Witch Project at the Final Five. And we saw beloved Navy SEAL Rudy go through that jungle and try to answer the 5 questions based on Jeff's story. But Rudy only has one thing to say as the answer to all his questions.
Yes, and very topical since there's a new Blair Witch movie out right now, right?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, yeah. You didn't know. You're like Rudy.
I'm like right. Rudy.
Here is a little bit of Rudy from that Final Five Immunity Challenge.
What is the one event that has overshadowed the departure of most of the survivors from Tribal Council? I don't know. If the spirits cause you to become lost in the jungle, what should you do to find your way home? I don't know.
I always like to think that it's because at the beginning of this, Jeff sits them all down and tees this up and says, everything you're about to hear is true. And Rudy just tunes out. He says, I know this is just ridiculous.
I don't know.
Yeah. It is a very bizarre challenge that goes on there in the Final Five of Borneo because, you know, again, it's a lot of these things on Survivor, for the most part, are pretty evergreen, with the exception of, you know, we get like the rare like Jack and Jill challenge or Gulliver's Travels, which really sort of like dates those things in a specific moment. But
and luckily, Gulliver's Travel is like a legend like now. The Dan Lembo chair sit is just like a legendary moment. So it almost has, you know, created its own universe there based on that.
Yeah, yeah. Between that and, you know, how bad of a movie Jack and Jill supposedly is, like, both those things are pretty iconic in their own right. But this was something that it was just that Survivor was like, oh, this is something that's topical. So let's build a challenge around this because, you know, we have cameras and stuff like that. And lots of people are talking about the Blair Witch Project. So, like, I mean, could you imagine Survivor right now? Like, do it's like something that, like, Big Brother would do.
Yes, yes. It would be like, all right, here's this new show coming up that'll have one season. Let's just make everything we do based on it.
So it's like, oh, I hear that like electronic music and raves are really popular right now. So let's build a veto competition around that.
I was just going to say, I didn't know.
So there is Rudy. Because going back to that season, like, I think like I remember like Gretchen's video, like a lot of people were like making like application videos and they were trying to like copy, rip off Blair Witch Project. Rudy was not having it. He was,
I don't know.
Good to see also Kelly Wigglesworth running around in her Kelly Wigglesworth 1.0.
Yes, yes, the original.
The original person who did know all the answers back in the original Survivor Witch Project in those with those giant cameras that they were lugging around to go and compete in that challenge.
I think one of my other things I love about this challenge and it is Sue Hawk's face when Jeff is telling the story is she is just floored by everything. When he's like, you know, when he's talking about the spirits and everything, her mouth is open. She is 100% dedicated to listening to this story and being just like enthralled in it.
She's all in. So number eight, where are you going to go with this, Megan?
All right. Well, number eight and number seven are kind of a combo platter here. They go together. They go hand in hand. And this is something that actually you were here for this new sound clip. So we're going to Survivor the Amazon. It's time for the men to go to tribal council. And it's time for a good old-fashioned bro down to talk about the women.
Okay.
And they get talking, and here's what they have to say.
Yeah. And some good old-fashioned leading the witnesses. But let's get into Jeff asking the men's tribe about what's going on there on the women's tribe. Here are the men of Tombaki.
You had a few minutes to see the women. I know you talked about them. Anybody stand out?
I think every one of those girls has a unique quality. Some have more unique qualities than others. Some are physically unique. But when it's all said and done, none of those girls are worth $1 million. And that's where I stand.
How about you, Daniel?
I'll just go out and say, I think Shauna's pretty damn hot. Okay. She's very athletic. She's got a great body. But I don't know, right now, after not showering for 3 days, I don't know how attracted I would be to her. But.
Yeah, first of all, how dare you, Dan Liu? How dare you with that? I don't know how attracted I would be to Shauna right now. That she's good and everything, but, you know, she's pretty gross because she's been playing Survivor right now.
For about 72 hours.
Yeah, yeah. But audacious. Audacious, Dan Liu. Okay, let's keep going.
But you're putting it out there.
Yeah.
Dave.
Follow suit. Shauna wore a ski hat. That's badass. I think Ryan was trying to say it. Make an analogy. Quarterback doesn't screw the cheerleaders at halftime.
And then let's stop down again with a double how dare you, Dave Johnson. Stop it. Stop it, both of you. You've gone too far. You've gone too far. Even the Ryan Aiken was the classy one in that clip.
That was pretty cheap.
Yes. All right. So from that clip, we have pulled the...
That's badass.
Yeah. Shauna has a ski hat. That is. I don't even like that little ski hat.
I don't even like the Boston Red Sox.
I like the idea that, like, Dave Johnson, rocket scientist, but his one kryptonite is a woman in a ski hat. Like, it's a very specific thing.
Yes. And the other thing that I pulled from a couple moments after that is when Alex also expands to say that he also thinks that Shauna is the hottest. And
bangarang.
Yeah. Bangarang.
Bangarang.
Badass ski hat.
Yeah. Honorable mention also.
Megan, it was 2002. You didn't just see women in ski hats in the middle of a jungle.
In the middle of the jungle? But nowadays, they're everywhere, right?
Yeah. Meg Griffin hadn't ruined women in ski hats yet.
Also, Rob, have you ever heard anybody after Dave say bangarang in
casual conversation? People ironically talking about Dave Johnson. I've never heard another human unconnected to Dave Johnson ever say the word
bangarang.
K-Garnet.
Bangarang. Yeah.
That's badass.
That's badass. There you go. Those are some badass clips there.
Yes.
Dan Liu. Still can't get over him talking about how, Shauna is attractive, but that would be a hard pass for him right now because she's been in the jungle too long.
Yeah, maybe the ski hat just doesn't do it for him.
Yeah. Who knew? But to me, I was talking about how, Heidi was the best, but I just felt like that just from a game theory perspective, Megan, it makes a lot of sense to me. Everybody else is going for Shauna. Felt like that seemed like the best move strategically.
Absolutely. Look at you. Eye on the prize of everything.
Yeah. Trying to figure it all out. All right. Megan. Number six on your list.
All right. Number six, we're going to episode 10 of Samoa. And Danger Dave Ball and Laura Moret approach John Finchler, the number cruncher, to discuss their plans to vote out Russell. And Survivor's number one poser is not impressed by his teammates and has this to think of some of his plans.
Yeah, this is also just great stuff all across the board. Now, Megan, from which episode of Samoa is this from? Do you know who gets voted out in this episode?
I don't recall off the top of my head.
I'm not sure. Is it Laura or is it Sharbaugh? Or is this when John Fincher ends up flipping his vote? But let's go ahead. This is Dave Ball and Fincher really having a conversation about what the move needs to be.
The vote is Natalie times five.
Perfect.
Find a problem with that. Is that five wrong?
Okay.
I know you'd rather not have
No,
Natalie.
No. I like that. I'll burn her right now. I do not care, bro.
It's continually impressive and bordering on annoying how pathetic the analytical skills of the Galloway dry bar. Let's telegraph a move to Russell. You're an idiot. Let's sit back and let's piss off Shambo. You're an idiot. Let's sit back and vote off Eric over a 30-second decision. You're an idiot.
You're an idiot. There you go. There's John Fincher working out. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what was the episode and what was the plan that they were going through. I think this is when ultimately John flips sides here and then goes with the Russell side to vote out Laura Moret in this episode.
I believe Laura, I just checked it up on, shout out to Survivor Wikia.
Bing, bing, bing.
Laura did go home that episode.
Yeah. And I think that what it is that he votes with them on the first vote and then he flips on the revote in this episode. So, yeah, he does stick to his guns that everybody else is an idiot. But I also really want to shine a light on the Dave Ball part in this episode and in the beginning of this clip when John Fincher is saying, why don't we just put the five votes on Natalie? That's it. Listen to what Dave Ball has to say again.
The vote is Natalie times five.
Perfect.
Find a problem with that. Is that wrong?
Okay.
I know you'd rather not have
that. No, I like that. I'll burn her right now. I do not care, bro.
Dave Ball does not care.
I'll burn her right now. I do not care, bro.
So, just in addition to the John Fincher,
you're an idiot.
I just wanted to also grab the Dave Ball quote from that as well.
I'll burn her right now. I do not care, bro.
Yeah, I don't know what reason we have for that, but I just thought it was funny.
I like it too. I think that's a good call. Good call bringing in some Danger Dave to the soundboard.
Got
to
bring Danger Dave into it. So, John Fincher monologue to everybody. They're an idiot. All good stuff. And one of the standards of TEOS. All right. Here we are, Megan. Top five, baby.
You got it. So, number five, Papa Bear, when not spending his time giving quality dating advice or sprinting through the jungle on Survivor South Pacific, tries to open up to the eyes of Dawn at the Third Tribal Council that she's on the outs of the tribe and You know, he's got one thing to say to sum it up about the situation.
This is Papa Bear trying to convince Dawn at that tribal council. He gets voted out.
Dawn. He said, you, me, and Cochran. The truth is, we're not in the five. We're not in their group. And you know that, so it's okay to say it because it's real.
So in that one clip, you had a really great
Dawn.
And so we also grabbed the
it's real.
So usually in TEOS, followed immediately by it's happening. It's real.
Yes.
It's happening.
Yes.
Dawn. It's real. It's real. They're coming for us. We're not in the alliance.
It's real.
Glad Papa Bear got a lot of mileage in TEOS. Very underrated survivor character.
I would agree. I think South Pacific, Papa Bear, Stacy, definitely underrated. Yes.
So good job there picking out Papa Bear and getting him into the top five. And
Dawn.
We need Dawn to play again so that we can get all those Dawn clips in there. Too bad we didn't have that for Karamoan.
Yeah, exactly. Or... maybe someday Sierra Dawn Thomas will play, and then we could use Dawn.
If there's ever a return of that fan favorite, Sierra
Dawn
Thomas.
Yep. Yeah. That could be a good spot for it.
It's happening. Yes, yep. Papa Bear knew. All right, so Megan, all right, top four, baby.
All right, so number four, and ironically, we're talking here about the final four in Survivor Heroes versus Villains. Russell's won immunity. And is telling Sandra that he's gladly going to take her to the end because he can win against her. But Sandra's got something else to say about this.
We saw Sandra getting into it with Johnny Fairplay. Here is Sandra actually working together with Russell to talk about this plan, about how she should be the person to go to the end with Russell. Because Russell has basically the Heroes versus Villains jury completely figured out.
So I'm going to use Sandra for me to win $1 million. She can't beat me.
I want you in the final three because I think I can beat you for the million.
All right.
Straight up.
I'll take the 100,000. You know how I feel.
It just makes sense to me.
Russell won immunity. So essentially, I have to do whatever Russell says because he's wearing the idol. I'm feeling wonderful because regardless, Russell's keeping me around because I'll never get a single vote. But I don't know about that.
This was great. We needed this. This was huge. We needed it.
Mm-hmm. I love this. Sandra hits the notes on every single word. The music is great. I adore this quote right here.
Yeah, it's a great quote. Josh does a great impression in the evolution strategy, and it's something that I think will come up a lot.
But I don't know about that.
That's right. You know, there's so many times we hear something that somebody says, it's like, really?
But I don't know about that.
So I love it. This was a fantastic job and a great addition to the soundboard here of Sandra. And I love Russell's overconfidence of like, I know this jury and they're not going to vote for you, Sandra. She's like, yeah, you're right, Russell.
She plays it great.
Yeah, she doesn't tell him.
You know what? I can get it out too. What the
Yeah, she's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, probably not. Yeah, I'm screwed. I'm just happy to lose to you, Russell.
I like also how she says, I'm against you.
Yeah, that's good also. Yeah, and that was before this, right?
Yes.
No, but now she's like, no, I was joking. Yeah, I'll just go to the end with you, Russell. Yeah, and then you could just beat me down.
Are you going to beat you down?
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Top three, your top three clips that need to be added to the soundboard from TEOS.
All right, number three, it's the merger episode of Survivor Australia. Kuchin and Ogacore tribes are coming in at even 5-5 with votes for Colby and Jeff Varner. But and it's time to do a second vote because they're all tied up, and Probst inspires the players here by saying it's customary to give you guys a chance to plead your case, even though you don't know who you're pleading to and nothing's going to change. Jeff Varner talks, but then it's time for Colby to step up to the plate and deliver our number three sound clip.
Okay.
Okay. In the case of a tie, here's how it works. Jeff, Colby, you will not vote. The other eight of you will vote. And as is customary, I want to give you guys a chance to plead your case, although I don't know who you're pleading to. This is obviously two tribes voting completely down tribal lines. Jeff, we'll start with you.
There's nothing that I can say, I don't think, to change anybody's mind. If I go home tonight, I will walk out of here with a smile on my face and be very proud of every moment that I had here.
Call me.
I only know how to play the game one way, and that's full tilt.
Yeah.
Full tilt, baby.
Yeah. Boy, that was like just everybody full tilt, just being a total Debbie Downer about the situation. Like, I don't know whose minds you're going to change. Everybody is already has their vote locked up. I mean, I guess you could give a speech. I don't know why anybody would do anything differently. Everybody's pretty locked in, but
yeah, I guess. I don't get why we would try to change the game up here. Let's just have this game run through. Let's not make anything interesting. Yeah. Let's have a 7-hour finale where you just make arts and crafts.
We know nobody's going to be able to win immunity here, but we have the time blocked, so let's make the most of it. I'll get you guys some paint. It doesn't matter if you make a good thing or not. It's just not going to change anything. Tina's going to win. Colby's going to blow it. He only knows one way how to blow things.
I don't know how to play the game one way, and that's full tilt.
No, he only knows one way to screw things up.
I only know how to play the game one way, and that's full tilt.
Yes.
And of course, his Survivor career culminates with him screaming at his brother as they try to throw water at each other. Reed.
Yeah, Colby only knows one way how to yell at his brother.
That's full tilt.
Poor Colby. Poor Colby. Started out so promising.
I love saying full tilt in my everyday life.
Yeah, if you can work it into a conversation, it's great. So there is Colby at number three, just outside the top two. All right. Only two spots are left here, Megan.
Yes.
Where are you going?
Number two is coming from the queen of the jalapeno tribe, Sandy. And she had the right to say the next clip after being brought to the token chains and getting a fake voted out of her tribe. And yes. She's got something to say about this.
All right. I will let my know-it-alls co-host have the honors of telling us who he voted for to be the weakest person voted out of Jalapau and presumably out of the game. Take it away, Steven. Who did you vote for?
Older lady, Sandy. Sorry.
That's five. There's only eight. Five is enough. Sandy, over here with me. Sandy, you can't be happy about
I'm
this.
I'm pissed. I am so pissed.
She was pissed.
I mean, to be fair, to add insult to injury, someone wrote Grammy down on the sheet of paper.
Well, even Steven here.
Older lady.
Maybe we'll save that for the millennials and the Gen Xers, Steven talking smack about people.
Older lady.
So here is Sandy the bus driver.
I'm pissed.
Yeah. So she is pissed. Josh does a great impression of her in TEOS. I'm pissed.
Yes. Lots of mileage out of this one.
Yes. So very good. Lots of mileage for that bus also.
Made it all the way to Cambodia.
Made it all the way to Cambodia.
I'm pissed.
Yeah. So she is very upset about everything. All right. Any other good Sandy quotes?
I mean, I do like when she calls it the jalapeno tribe. That is just, you know.
Yeah. I also like when she refers to Steven as that little nerd in the opening about how she's going to manipulate her with her feminine wiles that she's like. She's going to flirt with that little nerd, I think.
I think he's a geek.
Yeah.
Older lady.
Yes. Yes. All right. So, Megan, your number one clip from all of Survivor history, what was it that you felt like was missing from the soundboard that came up during TEOS?
Okay. If you listen to TEOS, you will definitely know this is something that got a ton of mileage, and it's coming from Survivor China.
Yes. And, downtown Chinatown?
I'm going to take him downtown to Chinatown.
Yes. Yes, precisely. Steve Chicken Morris is the first boot from the John Hu tribe. And when he gets voted out, he has just one reaction.
He was not happy. Here is the first tribal council from China.
Chicken. That's three votes Chicken. Two votes Ashley. One vote PG. First person voted out of Survivor China. Chicken.
It is both terrifying and beautiful at the same time.
Everybody jumps like 3 feet.
Damn!
You know, I had a similar reaction, but, you know, for me, my reaction is like when I see like the second vote with my name on it, it's like, oh boy, that's not supposed to happen. I'm very upset about that. But I guess for Chicken, I think he really thought it was down to the wire, and I guess he thought he was safe. Thought he was going to be okay.
Thought he was going to be okay.
Yes. Poor Chicken.
But he certainly, I think, has made up for it with all the times his name got said in the evolution of strategy. Real respect paid to Steve Chicken Morris here.
Yeah. No, he was great. So funny. Just watching that clip, because he's like totally still. Like, he doesn't seem to be upset at all about the votes not going his way. But then when they turn over that last vote for him.
I'm pissed.
He's very upset. I'm sure there will be tons of times that we'll be able to work in the Steve Chicken Morris.
Damn.
Yeah. Great job. That is a great number one. That is one that was certainly missing from our list. Meg, I commend you, because not only did you listen to TEOS once, you listened to it twice. And fantastic job putting together all of these clips and where they were originally from in each episode. You did a ton of work to get ready for this podcast.
Well, thank you. But considering I'm a fan of RHAP, it wouldn't be fair if I didn't have a bonus clip.
Oh, a bonus.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
This is something that it didn't logically fit in the list. It's actually technically not a quote from a player, but I feel like it needed to get some recognition, because I think it brought a lot of joy to both you and I when we heard this clip. And it's going to Survivor Fiji here, where we have Papa Smurf, who eventually will get overshadowed by Papa Bear in the evolution of strategy. But he goes to the immunity challenge. Yes, and it's time for him to go in the gross eating against Anthony, and Probst has this to say.
All right, here is a scene of Anthony Robinson versus Gary Papa Smurf in Fiji.
Come on, Papa!
Gary, like he's done it every day of his life, hammering that snout down.
This to me, that I don't know if it really played in TEOS, but certainly in the rewatching of Survivor Fiji, we had reached a point where Josh and I had recorded. We were into our 14th chapter of this, and really the insanity of what we were doing. Like, there was really, you know, Fiji, if you're doing a full rewatch of all of Survivor, it starts to be a little bit like, you know, you can't, you're not close enough. You can't see the ending. Really, you can't even see heroes versus villains in your rewatching. The classic stuff is behind you, and you're a little bit, you know, just like driving through, like, next rest stop, you know, 186 miles, and I'm watching two people eat pig snouts, and Jeff Probst is Papa Smurf, look at him go. He's doing it like he's done it every day of his life. Just the fact that we're like calling another person Papa Smurf in a competition as this guy is just wolfing down pig snouts. It was really just like the height of just the absurdity of what I was watching. And it just tickled me so much.
No, I was going to say, you know what I think is the crime in all of this is, so Papa Smurf eventually is one of the first people to quit for medical circumstances. And we don't even name that after him. So like when Dana quits from being medically, or Dana quits for a medical situation, we don't call it smurfing. We don't call it garrying. I feel like he should have gotten more credit here in Survivor history.
Because he had the option to leave or to stay, and then he chose to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we just consider it a medevac. Yeah, poor Pop. Poor Papa Smurf.
Papa Smurf, starting on his second snout.
Yeah, and then also, I grabbed this also.
Hammering that snout down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Papa Smurf, hammering that snout like Lisi with a bunch of ants. the hammer that Lisi used to beat up the ants, did that have a hatchet on the back?
My stuff!
I would never be able to properly identify that without the help of James Miller.
Yes, thank you very much for that. Yes, the Anthony Robinson versus Papa Smurf pig snout battle will live in infamy.
Yes, your bonus clip for your pleasure today.
Yes, thank you very much.
That's badass.
Yeah. That's badass.
Bangarang.
Okay. Well, Megan, you only knew one way how to do all this.
Yeah, that's full tilt.
It was full tilt. It was not pretty cheap.
That was pretty cheap.
Yeah. So I am not pissed.
I'm pissed.
So fantastic job. After all this, I am ready to
get faded.
Yeah. Okay. So this was really, really fun. I hope that you guys enjoyed this as much as I did. Fun stuff. Now, speaking of TEOS, Josh and I were kicking around some ideas, and we talked about the idea of potentially another TEOS special to do feedback from TEOS. We did one after Volume 2. We never did one after Volume 3. If that's something that you guys are interested in getting into, you know, having some of the discussions that we started in TEOS and picking up some of those things now that, like, there's a lot of talking about in Evolution Strategy, what's going to happen in Survivor Second Chance, we can get into questions like that. Let us know in the comments or on Twitter for myself or at Round Howard if you'd like to have something like this in our off-season podcast series. But Megan, this was fantastic.
Well, thank you very much, Rob. You know, I'm such a fan of the podcast, so it was a real pleasure for me to be here today. So thank you very much.
Now, Megan, do you want to tease at all the list you have of Survivor sound clips to pull from the first 27 seasons that is not TEOS related?
I guess I could just tell you that there's some people on that list like Shambo, like Nayanka, like Shane. You know, so those are some of the gems that you can just start percolating in your mind that some clips might be coming your way from those people.
Okay, so if you'd like to hear that clip, maybe it's not this off season, maybe it's sometime in between Survivor 33 and Survivor 34, maybe like early 2017. If you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to see part two of the missing sound clip countdown, then let us know as well in the comments. Megan, if people want to keep up with you on Twitter, where should they go?
Sure. I'm at Meg Wants to Know on Twitter.
It's a good Twitter name.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you know, my last name isn't very conducive to a Twitter name. So
heard that. Yeah.
Heard that. So feel free to reach out to me. I mean, I love being part of the RHAP community and I've met so many great people through it. So reach out to me there or come find me at the next Live Know-It-Alls. I'm usually there too.
All right. I'm looking at your Twitter right now. I see you were tweeting about Glenn. You're a big member of the Glenship.
Yeah, you know, that's why I had to say Boogie Down Boma today.
Boogie Down Boma. Okay, and Boogie Down Chinatown.
I'm going to take him downtown to Chinatown.
Okay. All right, Megan, thank you so much. We've got more Survivor off-season podcasts along the way. I'm hoping to hit one every week now the rest of the way till we get to Survivor 33 after a couple of weeks off after we got back from Chicago from the RehabCon. We are going to be getting into talking about the Survivor challenges once again with Miles Nye coming up next. That's going to be our next off-season podcast. Plus, we're going to be doing some fun stuff as well, talking about Survivor First Boots, Survivor finalists who got zero votes along the way. So we got some fun off-season podcasts coming for you guys up here in August. If you want to make sure you are subscribed to the podcast, go to robinswebsite.com/iTunes. And if this piqued your curiosity for the Evolution of Strategy, you could either get all of the 30 seasons in volumes of 10 or a la carte anytime you want, just like a pig snout. You could just like hammer them down, just like Papa Smurf.
Papa Smurf starting on his second snout.
Yeah, they're all available. Evolutionofstrategy.com. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody.